Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And I am not Gary Wellings. I'm much better looking, but I'm not Gary Wellings. This is Pastor Rick, and Phil is filling in with us. Hey, folks, cruise into the best deal. Get out on the water. Book your summer rental now. And where do you book your summer rental now? You go to Claves Marina, which is on 8789 McGregor Road, Pinckney. And they have boats there. You can rent them. Hey, you can even buy a boat there. I'll bet if you go in there and ask nice enough, they'll sell you one. And they've got a great selection. I tell you what, the very first pontoon boat I ever got was from them, and it was a great, great, great pleasure. So if you're looking for a boat and you want to buy one, go down to Claves. And if you just want a boat for a weekend, hey, they'll rent one to you. And they're right there on the lake. So you can go out and do some fishing, just some nice cruising on the lake. Nothing better than that, is there?
No way.
So now that I sit there and told everyone the fact that I'm better looking than Gary Welling, he must have heard me. He was on his way to Comic-Con, I think. And hey, Gary, how are you doing?
Good, Pastor Rick. Phil, thank you for filling in for me. I know sure, it was kind of a last-minute thing. And no, I'm not going to Comic-Con.
What is wrong with you?
I was in Comic-Con in San Diego once. And it was a strange time to be in San Diego, I can assure you.
But it's always a strange time to be in San Diego.
Yeah, no, when things get tough, the tough go surfing. And so I'm heading down to Daytona area in Florida where I keep a quiver of boards. And I'm going to do a little soul searching in the water down there. And
fantastic.
Yeah. So thanks so much for you guys. How's that? How's the gig going down at for Patrick Holbeck?
Talked to Linda. She talked to us just before it kicked off. She said there was a lot of people, invited more down there. Theron's going to be emceeing there, so that's going to be a good time just in that. But better than that, our future governor, Patrick Holbeck. If you want a conservative, you can't pick a better person than Patrick Holbeck, can you?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's common sense. And you know what? He's actually a rocket scientist, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Putting somebody into office who actually has a brain, and of all the politicians we've ever met, I think in Michigan anyways, Patrick Holbeck is a guy who's not in it for himself. He's not in it for special interests. He's in it for the people and to do what's best and what's common sense. And it's just amazing. If you don't know Patrick Holbeck, you must
get out, to know,
meet him, see him. He's the real deal.
And he's willing to get to know people. That's the wonderful thing about it. The people here, I know him very well. I've known him since 2010. You know, future governor Colbeck. You know that he's the real deal, and he's not about playing politics. That is not his agenda.
And he's not a nerd.
Yeah, well, the nerd that we have in office isn't a real nerd, all right? He's been a disappointment to nerds worldwide.
Rhino Rick has been just a devastatingly bad for the Republican Party in Michigan. We had an opportunity to do so many things in Michigan, and between the rhinos in the Senate and in the House and Rhino Rick as governor, they really screwed it up. And I don't have a whole lot of good thoughts for the 2018 election in Michigan. I really don't. I think the Democrats are going to make a comeback because the Republicans just screwed things up so royally. It's travesty. It really is.
Well, you know, after doing Linda's show, one person called in after Linda called in, and he didn't go on air, but he made the statement that he never gave us a reason, and I'd love to hear that reason, but he says he could never vote for Colbeck. I mean, who else do you have on the platform that's running that could make a good governor? Don't tell me Brian Kelly. He's been a sellout time. He's a bigger sellout than Rhino Rick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if a person can say they would never vote for Patrick Holbeck, they don't know Patrick Holbeck. A, they didn't follow his the way he has voted. B, and they just got their heads up their behind. See, because Patrick Kolbeck is a great guy filled with common sense. And if they had taken any of his ideas in the last 4 years, Michigan would be a lot better place, but they didn't.
Hey, I want you to hold on, Gary. I'm going to look at Derek. And Derek, was that the person who called last hour? Is that the person who called the last hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary, can you stay on the line? We can greet this caller all together. Is he coming on the air?
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not the guy who called in. It's just Ed.
Oh, it's just Ed. Oh, okay. Ed can wait. So what else is going on? What else is going on there, Gary?
I'm going to make one last statement to you before I leave, because I'm going to let you run the show, is why do South Carolinians drive so terribly? This is the second time I've come this way to Florida, and I-26 is a beautiful piece of road. It's straight. It's flat. It's wonderful, and it's filled with accidents all the time. I can't believe people drive so terribly in South Carolina.
Do you know Michigan?
So there you go. I'm passing on my South Carolinian listeners if there are ready.
Well, don't go yet. Let me tell you this. Michigan just won a award of having the most polite, nicest drivers out of all the states. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that.
And on that note, we lost Gary. He must have been.
No, I'm still here.
You're still here? Yeah, you're broken up a little bit. Did you hear my statement?
All right, well, I'm going to let you go because I've got some driving to do. And thanks again, Pastor Rick and Phil, for doing this. And I'll see you guys. I'll call in next week.
All right. Well, then I guess we'll talk to Ed. Take it easy, Gary. Hey, Ed. We are enthused to talk to you today. How are you doing, Ed?
Oh, yeah. I can feel the love. It's just Ed. I want to thank Phil for filling in for me.
All right.
Hey, I tell you. Yeah, I mean, I love my wife, but I have to say this. Phil is much better looking than you, Ed.
Hey, man, I've done 26 a number of times to Daytona or Jacksonville, and it's a breeze compared to 80 out to Connecticut here.
Oh, you're heading to what part of Connecticut?
I'm at Groton. I had to inspect my son's Virginia-class submarine yesterday. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to spend a lot of time in Torrington, Connecticut.
Well, yep, there you go, right around the block. I'm actually staying right at in Stonington right now, and it's wonderful.
Yep, I love Connecticut. Connecticut is a beautiful state, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely lovely. Driving up and down the Connecticut River is so full of history. Mm-hmm. There's a ferry crossing. There's the old stone walls. Just the Revolutionary War is everywhere here.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
If you ever want to do a history tour, and you're into the Civil War, you're going to spend all your time. I mean, there's a little bit you can do in like Michigan and stuff like that. Michigan has a little bit to offer in that line, but really, you want to get to Pennsylvania, Connecticut, East Coast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, have you been watching the AMC series Turn?
No.
Oh, I highly recommend that. It's about Washington's espionage agency, the spy agency that was set up against the British.
Right.
It's based on a true story.
Right.
It's very, very good, and it's all set in this area also, Long Island and Connecticut. And it's great. Hey, I got to say one more thing before I go. Okay?
You say as many as you want, because you kind of co-host this show anyway, so it's kind of like your show, and we could not let you speak.
Ready? The news you need to know.
Okay.
Okay, great. Hey, you guys enjoy. I'll be listening. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, and one more thing you wanted to say. What's that?
The news you need to know.
Oh. that was kind
That's
of
That's all
like...
Gary lets me say. So...
I get it now.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that went right over my head. You'd almost think I'm a blonde. I am. So a lot going on this week in news. Gary Spicer.
Yeah.
Out. Who didn't see that coming, really?
Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer. I'm thinking Gary Wellings.
Yeah.
But Spicer's out. Who didn't see that coming? Really, it's been. You haven't seen him around much.
Well, I hope that it's a... a preview of what's to come.
Right.
Because I see the Democrats just running over the Republicans. They're in charge. They are the majority, and they are just being overrun.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And it might be collusion. in my estimation.
I think there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that would like to see it go back to the way it was before Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And that they would be very happy getting a Democrat in there rather than keeping Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I really
believe because
that.
They have to do something.
Well, it's because it's hurting their agenda.
Well, look, the health care thing with the Medicare Part D was set up by Billy Tozan, former Louisiana congressman from Louisiana, but he was also a former Democrat for a number of years.
Right.
He switched parties under George Bush. Yeah. This guy set up Part D, and the corruption that went along with that setup sets up Obamacare and the push eventually to single payer. There was money, and I got somewhere, right in here.
Yeah, you pull that stack out. You're pulling that out, let me make one more comment.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Totally not related to that, but something I'm very happy to announce.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Scarborough left the Republican Party. I wish we could get some applause up for that. Scarborough left the Republican Party.
Yes.
There it is. Best thing that could have happened to the Republican Party if we want to go in a more conservative way. Joe, the Democrats will love you.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Right. Now, I was going to say, we should all go out and cry and everything because Joe left it. Who cares?
I'm glad.
yeah, I'm glad.
You know, but there's just some clubs that I belong to that I don't want him in. And one is my political party.
Well, that's you probably ascribe to the Groucho Marx. I wouldn't want to be a part of any organization that would let me in, you know.
Well, unfortunately, I have to be part of that organization that you're in because, they pay me to be here with you.
But Joe Scarborough, I was aware of him when he was in Congress, and
in
I did not like him then.
No.
I don't like him now, and I probably will never like the guy.
No, he's always been the clubhouse Republican, so to speak. You know,
and he looks the part.
Yeah. You hang out at yacht clubs and rub elbows with Mr. Howell and his wife, after they got back from their 3-hour tour. Get more vague. Yeah, but Joe Scarborough, hey. Glad you're out.
Yeah.
So now that I totally derailed your thought on Obamacare, let's get back to Obamacare.
Yeah. One of the things that it says here, this is from May 2006.
Okay.
And this was shortly after they recognized the fact that he had, just sold everybody out, really. But
we're talking about the congressman from Louisiana.
Yeah, Billy Tozan.
Yeah.
He could have made the thing a lot better than what he did. And if he had he would have been a hero. But what he wanted was to corrupt and influence legislation that corrupted and influenced the system for years to come.
Right.
And that's what he did. It says here that in 1998 through 2005, drug companies gave $87 million in federal campaign contributions to the Democrats and the Republicans. The Republicans got 69% and 31% went to the Democrats. That was the cut, the split.
Right.
But that was just for things to come. I heard the idea that there was $2 billion split up.
You know, early today on Dick Cupcake's show, Trigger Talk, he made the point that these liberals, they're patient.
Yes, they are.
They're very patient. What Bill Nye, the science guy, said, if they're going to get anything through for global warming, that we just need to wait for all the old people to die, and then we can get the young people to do it, That is the mentality. I mean, China used to have that mentality. We don't need to conquer the world overnight. they've got a long-term plan.
Exactly.
And they can do it little bits at a time.
And let's not forget, you know, the Russians. I mean, they want to make it out as if Trump is in bed with the Russians, but it's always been the Democrats that were protective of the old Soviet Union.
Guess who gave the Russians all the plutonium that the uranium that they have right now?
Hillary Clinton. That's right.
Gave all of our plutonium away.
Yeah. And let's don't forget also that Bill Clinton, he cleaned out Utah of the low sulfur coal.
I heard.
So,
I shouldn't go there. Keep talking. I'll think twice if I want to go there or not.
But the thing is that this is a collusion between the Democrats and the Republicans that got us into the position we are in today with this healthcare thing, and we can't get rid of Obamacare. Obamacare is going to be with us for a long time.
I got to say this about the Clintons in Russia. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm going to say, I have to specify out there that this is just rumor. There has been no collaborating evidence of this. Mm-hmm. But I heard Bill Clinton tried to order a mail order intern from Russia. just heard that rumor.
Yeah. Well, but you know, he was what they call it, Treasure Island or something like that. I mean, you know, this guy.
A lot of interns on that island.
Yeah, this guy was a piece of work, you know. And Hillary, you know, ran cover for him on all of that.
Yeah. You can't tell me that they have any sort of a regular marriage. I don't see it.
Well, you know, all the time that they went to Chappaqua, you know, they had supposedly this one woman, they call it an energizing bunny or something, and everybody knew about it. So
how many times where Hillary tried to get these people that had sex with Bill, or Bill forced them into sex, where Hillary got involved to tell them to back off, tell the girl to back off.
And threaten them.
Yeah. Boy, we went a long way from Obamacare to Bill's affairs.
Well, the reason is, I mean, the thing that I would like to know is, okay, they said that they want to investigate the election. So how do you investigate an election and you only investigate one side in a two-party system?
Right.
You know, I mean,
well, it's a red herring. You know what?
You know what I'm saying is, if there was collusion between the Russians and they don't know who did it, how are you going to find out if you only investigate one side?
This is why I generally never bring up the conversation of Russia anymore. All right, and this is going to be it. I see this as a red herring that the Democrats are throwing out there, because as long as they have you and I talking about Russia and how silly this investigation is, how stupid this investigation is, we're not sitting back pointing out the fact that the Democrats don't have a plan at all.
Yeah.
You know, that they really don't know how to deal with the loss that they just had, because they don't know how to sit there and say that, hey, the average American wants something different.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to cope with that. So instead, they throw out this red herring. They get us talking about that instead of talking about the fact that, hey, one of our two parties has nothing to offer us.
Right. Well, at
this point.
And that's one of the things that I say. If you are unhappy with the healthcare system, which is it's 1/6 of the economy. It's a big deal. And we're trying to repeal this thing, and we can't get it done because we got people that are in the Republican Party that are obstructing even the mildest attempts to get rid of this stuff. Yeah. So you have to ask yourself why. Well, when people are throwing around that kind of money that Billy Tozan threw around, there's no way that you can get rid of it.
Nope.
And so what?
They're slowly working in their socialist agenda.
What they do to get rid of it is going to be single payer. Now, single payer, no. Once that's in, there is absolutely no way you're going to get rid of it,
folks. I understand the allure of single payer insurance.
I can't.
No, I can understand the allure, because anytime you tell somebody they're going to get something free, They love it, all right? Yeah. The government's going to give you something free. I can understand the allure. I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah.
I can understand the allure to this, but I am talking to somebody. My father, when we were just kids, moved us to Canada.
Yeah.
And before Canada had their big single-payer system, one province had it, mm-hmm. Ontario. Mm-hmm. And it was called Ontario Hospitalization Insurance Plan,
yeah.
OHIP. And that is what the whole Canadian plan is based on, is the OHIP plan that we were under.
Mm-hmm.
And for having the sniffles and the cold and that stuff, it was okay. You needed something major, forget about it.
Yeah.
That, I don't know if everyone out there remembers, I'm sure you do remember,
sure.
that people were coming over from Canada paying yeah. out of their own pocket
to
get
Henry
treatment
Ford.
Over here because they couldn't yeah. get the free treatment
yeah.
in Canada.
Yeah.
And, I mean, life-saving stuff that would take, that you need open heart surgery. Yeah, we got a heart for you, yeah. but we don't have a surgeon for you.
That's right.
You know, so.
Or we don't have the equipment,
the equipment.
To you know and stuff like that. And Canada only had less than 40 million people at that time. They were what, about 36 million people?
Now I tell this story, and this is my own personal grudge against single payer system.
Mm-hmm.
My family lived there under the single-payer system of OHIP.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had a third heart attack.
Mm.
He walked into the emergency room. They told him
wow.
that because of his age, because of his weight, and because this was his third heart attack, that under no circumstances would he be resuscitated.
Three strikes and you're out.
Three strikes. That third heart attack.
Man.
They sent him home. He died. He had a heart attack.
Wow.
They were not going to resuscitate him. So do you want to die at the hospital or die at home? He went home to die.
That's incredible.
So, yeah. You ask me if my experience with single payer, that is my personal experience. It doesn't account for everybody's experience. But I can tell you, I got relatives over there that absolutely love it because it pays for the sniffles, it pays for the cough, it pays for
yeah.
if they want to get a work notice because they want to play hooky, they can go to a doctor yeah. and say, I don't feel good. But right now, the list of medications that you can't get in Ontario or in Canada mm-hmm. is longer than the ones that you can get under mm-hmm. prescription that OHIP will pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a bankrupt system. And they're still behind. You have to go in there for an upper GI or a test like that. You're six months to a year out on a test like that.
Wow.
That's the problem when you have free insurance. Guess what happens when you have free insurance? Everyone, for any reason, runs to the doctor and occupies that space.
Right.
And all of a sudden, when you got a cold as a young kid, your mom wrapped that scarf a little bit tighter around your neck, right?
That's right.
And bundled you up a little bit better.
And
or told you to go to bed and put a little bit of Vicks on your chest,
yep.
right?
And gave me some of that medicine that tastes...
Yeah. it tastes like it should never
that
have been given as medicine.
You. Yeah.
yeah. And you weathered through the sniffles. You weathered yeah. through the flu. You weathered through, you know... I sprained my... We talked in... our show last hour, when we were talking about superheroes, I mentioned the fact that my brother threw me off the roof to see if my cape would work. I sprained my leg. I did not break it. I sprained my leg. Do you know the medical system we had back then? Here's what it was. My mom says, can you stand on it? Yeah. Well, then cry it off.
Yeah.
You know, get back to playing.
Rub a little dirt on it.
Yeah, rub a little dirt on it. You're back. You okay? Now, if it was broken or something like that, she would have taken me in. But.
Yeah.
A single-payer system, everyone will end up abusing the system to the point where it will flood the system out.
But what would have happened had she taken you in on a minor ailment?
Well, you see, guess what we had back then? My grandfather owned his own business up in Gaylord. He had probably the largest plumbing and heating firm in northern Michigan at the time.
Uh-huh.
My father was part owner of that business. They had great insurance. We had insurance. But we knew not to abuse insurance.
Oh, I see what you mean. But I thought you were talking about after you went over in Canada.
No, in Canada? No. After I went to Canada, perfect example. Things that would sit there and brush off when we lived up in Gaylord.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now that we have single payer system that can't increase our rates.
Yeah.
I was being taken for every little thing.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so everyone had to wait.
Yeah,
yeah,
it causes you to abuse this.
Yeah.
We'll talk more when we get back after this break.
P
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. In Norfolk, Virginia, President Trump at the commissioning ceremony for the aircraft carrier honoring our 38th president.
If he could see this ship today, President Gerald Ford would see his vision brought to life. And he would see his legacy of service being carried on.
The carrier still needs tests and may not be ready for deployment for another 4 years. Protests continue over the police shooting of an unarmed Australian woman in Minneapolis.
While the mayor was trying to address the media about the resignation of Police Chief Janae Harto, those protesters interrupted her and demanded her resignation too.
We do not want you as the mayor of Minneapolis, and we're asking you to resign.
Now, the mayor left the room briefly as the protesters said that the city needs new leadership as well.
Maury Glover of Fox TV affiliate KMSP in Minneapolis. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Fire Line sells guns fast and furious, but we're also a range and training center. Not only is our selection of firearms and equipment bigger, our everyday prices are always lower than those big box stores. Our sales staff is trained to sell and equip you with everything you need. Our ongoing firearms education has something for every level of gun owner, including 4 levels for beginners and 3 advanced classes.
Beginners will enjoy the first-time shooters class as well as the fundamental firearm safety and CPL classes. For advanced shooters, they offer a drawing and shooting class, tactical handgun, and tactical carbine classes. Firing Line Indoor Range and Gun Shop is located at 33,000 Ford Road in Westland.
I'm Don Haig, one of the owners of Firing Line Indoor Range and Gun Shop. We're retired police officers and law enforcement specialists. We know guns and can help you safely and effectively exercise your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And then have fun doing it. Come visit us at Firing Line today or visit firinglineguns.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is Wellbridge. Wellbridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All Wellbridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry, I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend Wellbridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for Wellbridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, Wellbridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. Wellbridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom. I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And we are back. Hey, folks, if you're looking for somewhere to go out to dinner this weekend, guys, you want to take your girlfriend, your wife out somewhere nice, have a good time, hey, check out Burroughs Roadhouse. They are located at 5311 Brighton Road in Brighton, Michigan. They have live music on Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, and Fridays. But if you go there on the weekend and you just want some great food, go to Burroughs Roadhouse. You will enjoy it. You can call 810-227-6000 if you want to make reservations. Again, that's 810-227-6000, and it's located in Brighton, Michigan. That's Burroughs Roadhouse. And you can go to their website, check them out, www.burroughsroadhouse, and there's a hyphen between Burroughs and Roadhouse.com. And we're back. So we were talking a little bit before the break about healthcare. And I was talking about my experience about people abusing healthcare. And my family's actually a perfect example of that. When we lived up in northern Michigan, we played out in the dirt. I mean, we would get scratches, we'd get bumps, we'd get bruises. And we walked through it. And I turned out almost okay, if you ask my wife. But almost. But it's a simple thing where when you're in a single-payer system, people start abusing it, right?
Right.
And so what else did you want to talk about, Phil?
The bad thing about the abuse is that the people that are abusing it don't feel it at all, don't have any connection to the abuse that's going on. The government is the people that are giving it to you. Well, they are willing to give it to you because they got...
The problem with those that abuse the system, like I said, after we got the OHIP, I went into the doctors for just about any little thing. Why? Because we didn't have to worry about insurance rates going up. We didn't have to worry about any of that.
You had no connection to it.
No. We were clean except for the fact that we had to go into there. The problem is when you have so many people that are willing to go in for any little thing like that, it floods the system. Next thing you know is you can't get in to see the doctor.
Yeah, and for serious stuff. They always talk about you're going to take away health care, and that means that if you take away the health care, people won't have it and that may die because they don't have health care. Well, you're going to really be in a position where nobody is going to be able to get it except a lucky few that get in the door first.
You know, if they're going to do anything to the health care, and I think maybe if they're going to tweak any of the plan, first of all, I am completely for 100% market-based, okay. Market-based health care system. But if you're going to go to any system where we're going to put any money in it, we need to find a way to keep urgent care or emergency care much more affordable. This blanket wide, we're going to insure anyone to where we're going to cover their drippy nose, yeah. Or anything like that. That's in my opinion ridiculous.
But that's what Medicaid does. That's
right.
What it does. People that are on Medicaid have a better deal. Because they are getting it highly subsidized, and they never know that.
I've got a headache this morning. I don't want to go into work. Yeah. You know, I actually know somebody who did this. I didn't want to go into work, and I only make because they were working at a minimum wage job. Mm-hmm. You know, and they didn't have insurance at the time, and they still didn't. Well, they do now, but now they can just go in under Obamacare, and they go in there and they get work reports.
Yeah.
You know, to get off work for the day so they don't have to go into work.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong. The next thing you see, I thought you were sick. You didn't go into work. Oh, man, I just wanted to go down to the beach today.
Yeah.
You know? And they took taxpayers' money through Obamacare to get an excuse so they could go to the beach. To me, none of that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense if you understand what their ultimate goal is. Ultimate goal is single payer, but beyond that is the universal basic income. That's what the whole thing is about, and they're headed toward that. I have on the web about a guy from Hawaii where they're advocating going experimenting with the universal basic income. Now what that is making way for the revolution of robots that's going to come in a couple of years.
Right.
And between the basic income, a basic salary, and prescription drugs, They're going to blot out a whole generation.
Right. So it's not going to just end up being just universal health care. It's going to be a universal paycheck.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, the robots took your job. That's okay. The government is going to get enough taxes from the big people that we will have them pay your wages even though you're not working for them. Let's talk about that a little bit more. I want to go into a break here right now. But after that break, we'll go into this a little bit more because that's a very important thing.
Yep.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. Co-founders Tim and Brandon have been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991. Landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. Tim and Brandon have the professional experience you can count on. Call them today at 734-429-5778. See how their business can help your business. Visit A&H Lawn Service online at ahlawncare.com. Better yet, call Tim and Brandon today at 734-429-5778. Find out how they can make your business look a whole lot better. That's A&H Lawn Service, ahlawncare.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Austin, the A in A&H Lawn Service. Brandon and I started our landscape business in 1991 and grown our business into a full-service landscape and landscape maintenance company. We would love to add your name to our list of happy customers.
Remove the jobs. Break the schools. Pull back the police. Let the streets flood with drugs. Let violent gangs recruit child soldiers and terrorize neighborhoods. Don't prosecute gun crimes. And when the media looks you in the eye after another bloody weekend in a major American city, call for more gun control. If our politicians are truly using the carnage they refuse to stop to attack the rights of honest, hardworking Americans caught in living hell, then they are guilty of the most despicable form of racism imaginable. What has been allowed to happen in our inner cities is an absolute disgrace. If the same epidemic of poverty, gang violence, and broken schools poison the neighborhoods of the nation's political class, you'd better believe they'd be talking about real solutions, not gun control. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
In April of 2009, the Rattle With Us Tea Party was formed in an effort to take a stand for fiscal responsibility, limited government, and free markets. We firmly believe that our venom is our vote. Visit rattlewithus.com for details on monthly meetings and events.
Greasy Skillet. Greasy Skillet.
Greasy Skillet. Howdy, dear hearts. This is Radio John D., and I'd be mightily obliged to you for tuning in to my show, Greasy Skillet. We'll take the first exit off that top 40 interstate in favor of the two lanes, back roads, wagon ruts, and dog trots in search of the forgotten and overlooked roots music of America and beyond. Bring along the whole family and stay a spell, won't you?
Greasy Skillet, Saturday nights at 8 on Wham! You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And we are back. And Phil and I were just talking off the air about this whole thing. You know, when everyone was pushing for this $15 an hour minimum wage, $16 minimum wage at McDonald's, and McDonald's saying, we want $15 an hour. We started talking about the fact, we've had this discussion many times on there, that you're going to end up with, you know, $15 hamburgers and stuff like that, except for one thing. McDonald's won't let that happen. You want that kind of pay increase? Guess what? You're not going to be working at McDonald's. Robots will take your job. Mm-hmm. They're going into Dundee at a Speedway there. They have a little kiosk there. You want to put in an order. You don't talk to a person. You punch in everything on a computer. And so it takes out a middle person there. It can go even further than that. They can literally manufacture your sandwich by computer. Mm-hmm. If you want lettuce on it, the thing will put lettuce on it. If you don't, you don't. At my wife's work, they have a machine that a robot that serves ice cream. Mm-hmm. They're selling robotic yogurt things. Robots are coming into it. Yep. And the reason I say that is through robotics, a lot of jobs can get replaced if the labor cost is too high. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you have a whole lot of people that are not working. So what is the liberals' consultant idea? Is a universal paycheck. Mm-hmm. And that is where they're trying to go. If I understand what you are trying to say, Phil,
oh, yeah.
That's exactly what would happen. All of a sudden, when you have a total population that's out of work because of robots, because the company didn't want to pay the high hourly wages, the only thing you have left is a lot of people sitting at home. Welfare runs out after, 13 weeks, 26 weeks, or something like that. I don't know how many of the extensions you can still get stuff.
Unemployment?
Yeah.
Unemployment is, they had it up to, 2 years at one time.
Well, eventually, no matter what, it runs out, right?
Yeah.
And if the jobs aren't out there because robots have taken the jobs, the government has to come up with a solution.
Exactly.
And 2 years, unemployment's kind of almost getting on the skirt of universal payroll.
Yeah.
Paying people to not work. Uh-huh. And that's what's going to happen with the universal payroll system. If you want to be part of the conversation, the number is 734-822-1600. And we're talking about anything from health care to universal payroll to, just not liking Joe Scarborough and glad that he's left the Republican Party. And I'm going to celebrate that for a while.
You don't need somebody beating you up from the inside, and that's what was happening every day. This guy was, he was just relentless. And then he would... after work, he would go around and try to be chummy with Trump.
The Republicans have been beating themselves up back and forth and tearing each other up since 2008.
Yeah.
And that's a problem if you ever want to win. I'm not going to call the name out. He didn't want to go on the air, so I'm not going to mention his name. He called up and said, I'd never vote for Patrick Kobach. Hmm. I know Patrick Kobach. He is a strong Christian.
That's right.
But he will not legislate your morality. He'll use morals in his legislation type thing. You know exactly where he stands on subjects. Mm-hmm. The bill that went through, he was going to fight to get a bill through that allowed us to buy right-to-life license plates.
Yeah.
That got through both houses.
Yeah.
Rhino Rick vetoed it.
Vetoed.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Whatever Kobach says he will try to do is what he will try to do. Mm-hmm. And he will fight for it until he gets it or until there is no more fight on that. And even then, it's not over. Mm-hmm. If it comes back around, he will. He's done that with the road bill a number of times, trying to bring that around. He's the one who fought against the higher gas taxes. Mm-hmm. And yet, we still have them. Him as a governor could have vetoed those gas taxes. Mm-hmm.
He may be taking a lesson from the opposition because they are relentless. They don't give up. Look how long Dingell's dad pushed the health care every year till he died. And then Dingell took over and he did it for another 50 years.
Now his wife is doing it again.
Yeah, right.
And you know what's really sad is that Debbie Dingell used to be a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And she married the old guy from from Washington.
Yeah.
He says he's from Michigan, but he spent all of his time in Washington and growing up in Washington. We know better.
Yeah.
And I say that because, first of all, the Dingells, my family called him a friend, you know. But I told him, I like you. You're a friend, but I'm voting for Steele this time around. He didn't like that too well. But yeah, you're right. They push their agenda, and they're very patient. And like I said at the opening of the show, they're like China. We don't have to conquer the world overnight. We have an eternity to do it.
Totalitarian-minded systems are patient. They know it's just a matter of time when they keep offering the goodies that at some point somebody's going to accept them. It's just how many.
And taking this patient approach works in a society like ours, because in a society like ours, we want to fix it now type situation, right? Every time we see a single problem, we try to fix that problem right now. And how do we as Americans fix it? We throw money. We throw money at it. So to get that totalitarian order, you use that weakness against us. oh, America likes to throw money at their problems. They don't like to see problems fester on. They want it taken care of right now. They don't always think of the best way to take care of it. They just want to throw money at the problems. That makes it easy for a totalitarian government to take over.
Yeah.
When you have a society that's how they do it. And so what they do is say, fine, we will use their money to throw at the problems and we'll make them glad that we did.
And that it's always somebody else's money. That's right. Why Margaret Thatcher, she said sooner or later you're going to run out of other people's money, you know? And it is. I mean, look at the deficits that we're running. Look at the deficits. I mean, you know, I remember back when that one senator used to call it a deficit instead of a deficit. You know, that's been a while ago. But, I mean, he would probably have some kind of a system in his heart if he's seen the deficit compared to what it was when he was in the Senate.
There is a book I referenced quite a few times on our shows. It's called When Helping Hurts. I know I've talked to you about this book. It was actually written by two very liberal pastors, liberal in politics, not in their theology. Theology, they were sound in their theology. But they spent time as missionaries over in Africa. And what they found out is when they threw money at the problems, when they would leave, the areas that they tried to help out with would go into a bigger problem waiting for the Christian to come back to pay for things. In other words, they would let things go. And being Americans, they'd go over there and they try to fix all the problems by throwing money at it. They need better farming equipment, so they bring in tractors. They need this and this and this instead of doing it the way they're used to. None of them knew how to use this equipment. So when they left, they wouldn't go back. They wouldn't go back to manually plowing the fields. They wouldn't use their animals to plow the fields. They wouldn't use the new tractors, nor know how to use it. Next thing you know, they're sitting there and they're starving because we threw money at the problem and then didn't carry through.
Yeah.
What we should have done is taught them not how to use a tractor, but how to better take the function of agriculture and use their own resources that they have there present and teach them to use their resources to make their life better rather than going in and just throwing money at the problem and walk away saying, look what good I did. I helped them out. And you left there leaving them in worse shape than when you went. That's happening over here. The same thing on the whole welfare system. We throw money at the problem. Oh, you're hungry. Let's throw money at the problem. But where's the real help coming through? They don't take advantage of the other things that teach them how to work. They don't take advantage of any of those other programs. They just know that when they get hungry and they get down, they can count on Big Brother to give them that check to survive.
And you know what is really scaring me is this idea that we can introduce marijuana and drugs into the just neighborhoods. I mean, by the government. I mean, because basically that's what it is. They're paying people to grow marijuana and stuff like that. So at some point, all of this stuff, just like Mexico, it'll be just like Mexico. It'll be all of the drugs will be legal for recreational use. Because like Mexico, I mean, they did this about 8 or 9 years ago now.
How easy is it to control a stoned society? You know,
yes, well,
I'm serious.
That's right.
You got everyone stoned on drugs. They're sitting back. They don't care what's going on.
That's right.
And they're very happy being at the bottom of that barrel.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that marijuana that they're growing today isn't the marijuana back when I was a young guy.
Okay, I no idea what that marijuana was about. Tell me about it, Phil.
Well, no, I never was a marijuana guy.
Me neither.
Because I could not handle it, and I knew it, and I realized it, and I did not mess with it.
Well, when I went to school, I'll tell you, my people in other rooms around on my floor would always, and believe it or not, this was a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. you'd walk into the men's dorm room because they didn't have co-ed because, well, it was a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And you'd almost get a contact buzz from the smell of the marijuana.
Yeah.
And the nun that ran the floor, she didn't know what she was smelling. She thought it was some rank air freshener. She really did. I would get severe headaches just from the smell of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm deathly allergic to the smoke of marijuana. So, Lord bless me in that way that I never have the
urge. That's what I look at it as, is being blessed to not be able to handle it, you know.
So just real quick, because we're coming up here close to the top of the hour, universal paycheck. Do you see that coming in our lives?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it'll take a portion of the people and make them happy. Because there's already a big portion of all societies that say, I don't necessarily want to be rich. I just want to be comfortable.
Being happy. We'll get Derek to that. Derek, can you get us to out of this show playing that song Happy by Pharrell?
Yeah.
when we just start playing it. It's a few minutes long song, so just let us know when it comes on by, playing it.
So that's why it's going to be real easy to get a big portion of the society to just be mellow out and just
be
go
happy,
with the flow.
You know, it's good to be happy, right?
Yeah,
that's my granddaughter's favorite song. She loves that song. So, you see that in our lifetime. That's scary.
I see us being able to look at it and see that, man, we come a long way.
We're not that far off from it
with
2-year unemployment.
Yeah,
you think about it.
Yeah.
And like I said, as long as you can make the majority of the population happy at the expense of other people, it allows the tyrants to rule.
Yeah. And they're going to just sit back and just say to you, okay, just take it easy, let us handle it, you know? And they'll be glad to
what time's the game on?
Yeah.
You know, that's all you have to worry about. What time's the game on? Everything's fine. The check is in the mail.
Yeah.
Hey, it's in the mailbox already. Yeah. Now we're going to have, the government's going to have to provide us a way to get down to the bank to cash us.
And, you know, Adam was what? The first gardener, right?
Yeah.
And Noah was the first veterinarian.
He was the first man that learned to tread water.
Yeah. But, you know, every man, you know, from the biblical times had a task.
And I want to make this point. A lot of people say this. They say that work is part of the curse. No, I want you to look in the Bible very carefully. Adam was charged with tending the garden before the fall.
Yeah.
We were designed to work.
That's right.
We were absolutely made.
And
we're given opposable thumbs, not to play arcade games. We're given opposable thumbs so we can work.
Yeah, and Eve was the helpmate.
Yes.
And so, I mean, we have just turned our back on our tradition and our legacy and our inheritance.
You know, one thing's my father and I didn't always get along, but I can tell you this about my father. He was a hard worker. Mm-hmm. I can tell you about my grandfather. He was a hard worker. When you talk to people who knew them, that's the first thing that comes out of their mouth, is they were hard workers.
Yeah.
That's how I want to be remembered, is I was a hard worker.
Yeah.
I've spent my life, I'm going on 57 years old, I spent a total of two weeks on unemployment. That was it. And I didn't like it. Matter of fact, I got my first unemployment check by the time I was back to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what you do. You work. Yeah. Hey, we'll go out with this song right here.
Yes.
We'll see you at the other side of the hour.
Uh-huh.